It is your money. Hello, 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 and happy Mother's Day. I'm Susie Jones, and I am joined this hour with Peg Webb, a senior vice president and financial advisor. Peg, no Bruce today, huh?
He's taking a very well-deserved day off.
Very good.
I think he's leaving the Mother's Day to you and I and all the mothers out there listening today. But a lot of people are calling, texting their mom. They've already sent cards or flowers or gifts. And one of the things that I like to do is not just today, but a lot of days of the year, is share stories with my mom about my past life with her.
Oh, that's nice.
You know,
nice.
And there's seven of us, so you wow. almost have to kind of sneak your story in
yeah.
because we still are all competitive and want mom's ear. But I want everybody out there to thank mom for just the great influences that they have given us.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that I've followed in my mom's footsteps with some of the things that she taught me early on. So happy Mother's Day
happy
to you,
Mother's
Susie,
Day. Thank
and
you.
All the mothers out there. But what the marketing team decided to do is to focus on women today, and of course, women and wealth. And I've been a strong voice for Wealth Enhancement Group since the very beginning, decades ago, about women and, getting education because the confidence level of women still today isn't as high as I believe it should be. But there's a lot of things, Susie, that have happened positively with women. And we've had some challenges and we continue to have some challenges. But some positive things are that women control a significant portion of the personal wealth in the United States. Now, some of that could be because the money, the husband or the significant other had passed away and now they're in charge of that. But still, this statistic of women not being prepared for the big day that they retire. So today I thought I'll just kind of discuss some of the strategies. When women come and talk to us, we talk about some of these challenges. And believe this, there has definitely been progress. No question, hands down, there's been progress where women have raised their confidence. And I think it's a really huge deal. And I'll tell you why there's still a challenge out there and maybe understand some of the things that are still happening today. But I would say we've come a long way over the past decades. Susie, have you witnessed that?
I have, actually. I think that I have sisters. So you have seven. I have three sisters. So there's four of us. And I think all of us, to a T, have been mindful of our money. My mom instilled that in us. She's a huge budgeter, Peg. You would love my mom.
I love that.
She keeps a little piece of paper, Peg, I'll just say this, from 1963 when she had all of us little kids and they didn't have much money. But so she keeps this tiny little piece of paper, her budget paper, and at the end I think they had like $7.56 for the rest of the month because they didn't have any money, you know, and four kids. And anyway, she's 94 and she's done great. She's has a financial advisor and still has money. And anyway, back to you.
Yeah. I truly admire like the moms of that era because, they had to, especially with four children, seven children. And a lot of times, the husband or like my father was working, outside the home. So, mm-hmm. and so was my mother, but still kind of controlled all the things that had to happen, in the household. Well, the good news is women still today statistically are living a lot longer than men. Mm-hmm. But the bad news is that we're living longer than men. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of a risk because on average, American women live almost 6 years longer than men.
Wow. Wow.
So what that means is your asset values and your investments and the withdrawal rates that you might take out, you need extra for those last kind of six extra years. And to do that, you know, your savings has to be grander than your partner, or the average man doesn't need as much money saved. But there's some negatives still out there. And once again, it's getting better. But the earnings disparity for women and men is still a factor. And I remember, Susie, you know, I did a lot of workshops through the years, and I always talked about that women, you know, earned 77 cents to a dollar mm-hmm. versus men who were at 100 cents on the dollar. Now, through education and experience and just women, you know, controlling a lot more of their life today, they now we're at 84 cents, close to 84 cents. So that's a big jump, but mm-hmm. the goal is to get to 100%. And the reason, you know, there's a disparity for women too, because it affects a lot of savings plans, like even your Social Security. Mm-hmm. So the Social Security Administration, you know, logs in how much income and credits you have every year. Well, women have career interruptions. Right. They're mm-hmm. they're still the caregiver and have the highest responsibility. Most of you probably know that the women are the ones that bear children. Right. So yes. It's not like, hey, you do it this time, husband. Right. The women are bearing the children. And, you know, it's kind of interesting, Susie, and I don't know if you're seeing this, but the women are, you know, have children now in their late 30s and sometimes early 40s,
right,
which I'm witnessing, you know, as an employer of a team. And what happens is then they have so much more career experience before they have their children, and they have kind of more financial stability, and then which leads to greater flexibility. And so then the other thing that I'm witnessing, you know, with my daughter, is that the men are taking such a more active role in the childcare and all the household duties. So it's just a different picture today, probably, Susie, than when you and I had children early in our careers.
I would agree with that. And it's nice that your son-in-law is stepping up.
Yeah.
You know?
And I think it's not even like the stepping up part.
Right,
it's
right, like right.
They want to be engaged, right? It's just a transformation, and I love watching it. The other thing that happens, though, is because the women are having the children and have to take kind of this gap from work, they're less likely to have as much money put away in their 401ks or some type of retirement plan. And then still today, because we're not just talking about corporate careers here, right, that more women work part-time than men just overall, because maybe one person of the family has the higher income, and then it just then kind of falls on the other to, you know, to do all the things that you have to do to keep a household running. Then lastly, when it comes to understanding the challenge for women, is the financial confidence. So what's so interesting, Susie, is that of all the studies, women are so good at, and they pick it up right away, is managing those household budgets. So you mentioned your mother having the little piece of paper and writing things down. Well, they're very good at knowing, you know, where that dollar went, and maybe who did I give money to, and is it equal between the children? But they're very good at managing those household budgets, and then also just paying all the bills on time, and actually, quite frankly, making very big financial decisions in the household. But then when it comes to like that longer term planning, and we're just talking in percentages here, women still have a little harder time saying, oh, I'm going to go buy this stock, or I'm going to go hire this financial advisor, or I'm going to invest money. I've heard a lot of stories from clients that they would maybe they worked for GE, you know, General Electric during the time, and they were proud to work there because these are women now in the, you know, the 40s and 50s that they work for these big companies, and they were offered to buy stock, or their particular dad or somebody encouraged them, go buy a few shares if you like working there. But not a lot of women have just kind of this natural instinct to learn all about the stock market and the bond market and what do you do? Well, what we find is, even though, you know, they're not super anxious, and we're talking in very big generalities, is, but if they're not that interested, we find that women seek advisors, like someone to help. They're not afraid to just ask for help. And once you get a financial advisor, women tend to have better investment returns than men. A study shows that they just earn more money on their money. And can you guess, Susie, why that might be?
Because they're more, I would think if they're more careful and thoughtful about it. I don't know. What's the answer? Why would
they? Well, the answer is they're willing to leave everything, you know, as it is in good times and bad. They trust this person, even if it's themselves. They trust that whatever they're owning, and it's going up or it's going down, I am not going to take, you know, the money out and try to chase something that might be better. They're very much, you know, confident in leaving it be, since it is for the long term. And they truly understand that. So those are some of the challenges. And I, when I was reading the outline and talking to marketing about it, I'm like, well, these are the same things we've talked about for decades of time. And that is absolutely true. You know, here's how women invest today. Here's the challenges that they have. But I would say, even though the percentage doesn't seem like it's dramatic, I would say there's a huge difference in the knowledge that women have today, and especially the younger women, the women that I talk about who are having children late 30s, early 40s, you know, they have confidence now because they feel like they have, you know, some affordability to be able to have some flexibility and some time off, and they're very confident in their career. So anything to add to that, Susie?
Well, I just like it. I think that as just last hour, we talked about people living longer, women live longer. And so it's very important that we not just sort of, I'm sadly kind of the kind of person, Peg, and I know you'd hate to hear this, that a little bit puts their head in the sand and just hopes for the best. And that's not the way to do it. And I'm excited because I learn something every time you're on, you and Bruce. I always learn something. And it's so important because I'm right in your wheelhouse at 62, working with an advisor, thinking about what's next. And you really do have to be mindful about certain steps you take, decisions you make to protect that ultimate nest egg, but still live your life and go on trips. I mean, that's my big thing. I like to go on trips. I have to budget for travel.
I love that you said that because, you know, I'm all about, you know, people taking advantage of the time that they have. And it's kind of interesting because as an advisor, I've always had clients that were maybe 10 or 20 years older than myself, because people come in and they want to work with somebody, you know, that maybe is a little bit younger or, you know, near their age. But I've had the luxury of living through all these people's lives. Mm-hmm. And so as I got older, I'm like, well, this is what I have to do, because the majority of people that I coached, this is what we do. Well, you mentioned trips and travel. One of the things that I try to encourage younger people today is to go seek and travel and do things while you're younger, if you have the flexibility and time. And I do witness many families taking their children now, you know, on these trips. But for you and I, we're similar in age. Now is the time, and we see, you know, plastered on Facebook and all these places that people, when they're in their 60s, that's when they want to travel. That, you know, you've kind of almost got this clock that says, hey, while you're able, get out there and travel. So we help budget of people for these events that they want to do. If they're, you know, they're looking forward to retirement, and they want to know that they have the money to be able to do all the things that they worked hard to save to do. So it's very important that, especially for women, that they do that budgeting. And it seems like they're very good at that. But then when it comes to the asset allocation, once again, how do I diversify my investments to balance that risk? But I know I have to grow my money because I'm probably going to be one of those 95-year-olds or beyond.
Like my mom.
And today, and Susie, today with modern medicine, I mean, I don't doubt that there's going to be a lot more 100-plus people out there.
Right.
But women have this tendency, and I personally had it, this vision of this kind of bag lady under the bridge. And they would show that picture to us, Susie, decades ago and say, you don't want to be this person. And that was, I would use that picture because it was in like the New York Times or something to get women to be motivated to save money and be a steward of, you know, their money and make sure that they took some control of what money they're going to have. And this is even in a relationship, right? There's a lot of women that maybe didn't do the investing, but then they stepped up and said, hey, I want to be a steward of money too. And so I want to be responsible for having that money so I can do what I want to do, knowing that I'm probably going to live longer, you know, than my partner. So that's a huge deal. And then another strategy for empowering women is to understand, you know, what your money can do for you. And that's that power of compounding. I talk about this a lot. If we're working today, right? And we're earning money for doing this job. But if you just invested money and you really don't have to do anything, right? It should compound over time. And to me, that was almost more valuable than my job. Because that power of compounding of decades of time, if you can invest money early, then you're going to be in a much better position than someone who waited a long time. So so that's important. And then lastly, Social Security. I think people need to get help on when to take Social Security and the timing of claiming your benefits, especially women, because there's spousal benefits and you need to understand, is this a good option for me as much as it is for them, like his and hers? There's so much to it. And for women, you almost have to fight for, you know, I want the maximum because I'm probably going to be the one that's going to be living longer. Now, not in all cases, I'm talking about percentages here, but you're going to want to become knowledgeable about those, that Social Security and when to take it. And then I know we're running out of time, but the last thing I would say in regards to this is continuous learning. Women do seek to understand and want to learn, and they're not afraid to ask for help. So in that case, if you find something that would educate you about finances, get professional advice to build confidence. There's so much online today that you can do that you can, you know, motivate yourself to learn more and build that confidence. And then there's all sorts of live events. Wealth Enhancement Group does a lot of blogs and live events about women in education and investing. And then just speak to other women that you know, like, what are you doing?
Right.
And who's your advisor? And so that kind of summarizes, the strategies for empowering yourself, but you have to take it on yourself to motivate and do something to get it started, Susie.
Let's remind people listening, if you have a question, this is a Peg's hour. We're going to talk together about finances for women. The number is 651-461-9226. Maybe you're just sitting there thinking about it. Maybe you have a question for Peg about what you're going through. 651-461-9226. If you want to text it, that's perfectly fine, because a lot of people like to just text. Or if you want to call us this morning, we'd love to have you. Peg, I've always had this question. We have about 30 seconds left, but maybe on the other side. You know, are there statistics on, are Americans in general ready for retirement? Like, what percentage of people actually are doing this? Because I think that I'm always curious. There are some of us that are doing the work to get ready, and then I wonder about others. So maybe we can look at that and take more text after this on News Talk 830-WCCO, 651-461-9226, 651-461-9226. And welcome back. It's the second half of Your Money. I'm Susie Jones, along with Peg Webb. Bruce is off today. Reminding you, if you have a question for Peg, 651-461-9226. We're talking about women and financing and what we need to do as women and as people who love women to help make sure everybody's ready when that retirement date comes. Peg, you want to kind of recap, or do you want to start with that question I asked about how many people are actually prepared for retirement in a meaningful way?
Yeah, I'll just quickly recap just in case some people are just joining us.
Sure.
So welcome, listeners, to the show. But we want, once again, just to wish all moms a happy Mother's Day and take advantage of reaching out. And to me, it was just thanking Mom for the great influence that she had on me. So today we thought, well, we'll talk about women and wealth, which is often a very interesting topic, in that we as women have made a lot of progress in the disparity of pay. So it used to be 77 cents about two decades ago, and now it's 83 cents on a dollar that women are earning. And the reason that we're saying that's a challenge is because women tend to live longer than men. So here you've got less pay for somebody that's going to be around longer. Mm-hmm. And so that the reasons for that are just some career interruptions, you know, responsible for the kids. They might put less in their 401k, their Social Security, all of that lack of more compounding on those types of savings plans affects women. And then just the financial confidence. It's not statistically as high as men. So in women out there, you are definitely have grand strives towards doing more, empowering yourself, educating yourself, wanting to learn. We are seek to learn type of people. And sometimes you say, I'm overwhelmed, right? I got so many things on my plate. How can I possibly do that too? I would still encourage women to put the education and knowledge of your long-term investing ahead of maybe some of the other things that you have on your plate. And I'm so proud of the fact that women are willing to ask for help. Mm-hmm. So that's just a summary there. And then, Susie, I would love to answer your question because just last week I read a survey, or it was kind of an impactful survey, and I read it because it was Peak Boomers Impact Study. Well, I'm a baby boomer. I'm on the tail end of the baby boomers.
Mm-hmm.
And there is 30 million Americans that are expected to retire here now between 2024 and 2030. So that piqued my interest, right? There's that many people.
Right.
Well, more than half of those people will primarily rely on Social Security. That's not good. it's not.
I know, because I don't know if it, you know, you have that mathematical thing that says that there's not enough people in the workforce to sustain that many people taking money out of the pot. Is that kind of it?
Well, that's right. And they were planning for that, right? Social Security is a hot topic right now anyway. How are we going to continue to pay? Mm-hmm. People are living longer. Obviously, they're trying to figure something out before they would have to cut people's pay, which they would not want to do. Mm-hmm. But what's interesting, you brought up Social Security, and I brought it up because people are going to be living on it. The average expected Social Security benefit for peak boomers is only $22,000 annually.
Wow.
So Bruce and I talk about these people. Oh, you're going to get, as a husband, you're going to get $40,000. And then the woman that maybe had stayed home is going to get half of that, you know, while you're alive. And that's $60,000. Great.
That's not, oh my gosh.
That's not the everyday person that's out there working. That just seems that those people have maximized Social Security because they had higher earnings. Mm. So there's other, there's just disparities on retirement preparedness. And I think we are going to witness that people are going to live longer. They have a fear of inflation. And now this word inflation is all over the news, right? Because of all the things that are happening. And so, I feel for people because they're worried about either having to live longer, you know, stay healthy, or so that they can push their Social Security out as long as they can. So that's not like a huge new phenomenon here, right? There's still many people out there that it's just hard to save. I feel for them. You're doing your every day. You're working as hard as you can, mm-hmm. And it's just been hard to make ends meet. And so I encourage people that even if it's a small amount of money, because I'm going to talk about this power of compounding. This is like the magic thing. If people could, and this is what I would say, listeners, if you could encourage one younger person to put away some money, and it doesn't even have to be a lot of money, this power of compounding is magical. Yeah. And the sooner that you start it, it takes this burden for all these people who didn't put $10 a long time ago or $25 or, you know, that would be a life-changing event. So if you could just encourage one or two people or as many people as you can and teach this power of compounding, you've heard me rant about this a lot on the show, but it's so powerful, Susie.
Yeah, and if you put it in and you don't know it, like if you have a direct deposit and can stick it in, you know, have it be an automatic situation and you don't see the money, then that's even better, right? And you can do that, right? You can.
Well, I call that hiding money from yourself.
Right.
You know, you need to just have it taken out of a paycheck, or some people can just have little money taken out of their checking or their savings and move it over. And mm-hmm. seriously, you don't miss it. And you'll be happy you did it.
651-461-9226. Peg, a texter asks the question, what do you think is the reason that women are paid less than men? That is a very, very loaded question. And I wonder it's sort of philosophical more than anything.
Well, there's a lot of reasons. Number one, the caregiving, right? If you want to have a family, then you're going to have to be out of the workforce for at least some time.
Mm.
And, you know, I have to admit, like when you're looking to have somebody, as an employee, and you have choices, mm-hmm. and you feel like, okay, this person's going to be, there's just biases.
They're still out there, right? Yeah.
Whether they're not even usually married or in their late 30s before they even decide to have children, but there's still kind of a bias.
Yeah.
You're going to be out. And by the way, somebody's got to take care of the child. And so, and I said, it's better today, but it just used to be who's going to pick up the child from daycare and mm-hmm. who's going to, you know, get them to school. And then they've got all, it's just, it, 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 and so the other thing is we probably need to change a little bit more of the lack of adding to their 401k and Social Security because of the time that they're out. You know, so all of a sudden they're doing that, but yet they're not having that compounding within their employment. So that's bad. And then, you know, there's a lot of things that have been happening. And I mentioned this several times already. Women are becoming much more educated right. about their choices and about investing. So they're taking more control of their own destiny versus maybe waiting for an employer. And I also think Wealth Enhancement Group is huge in this, in that, you know, we provide types of groups where women can be in a group and work with one another
yeah.
to say, oh, this was my experience. And this is, and so we encourage each other. I'm not saying that men don't encourage women, but we have a special group that we meet and talk about different things. And so when I talk about being a financial advisor, there's only 20% nationally that are women.
Mm.
And part of that is because being a financial advisor is like running a company, right? You have all sorts of things you have to do and you have to know. It's not like I have to know one thing and just repeat it every day.
Right.
The industry that we're in, there's all sorts of rules and regulations, which is great. So you protect the client, but you also need to know all sorts of things like financial planning, and you have to be good with numbers
and
you have to understand the best. There's taxes. I mean, there's just a lot.
Yeah.
And so women as a whole haven't gone into that business because it was just a lot. And we're having more and more women come into the industry, which I absolutely love. But that's another reason. So there's just a few reasons, Susie, to answer that question.
Yeah. And I mean, it's down through time, it's been that way. But as you say, it's getting better. Peg, I had a situation once where I found out that a colleague that was doing the exact same job was making $30,000 more than me in the broadcast world. And I was so mad. I went into the general manager and I said, hey, I just found out some very disturbing news.
Yeah.
I was pretty brave. That was brave of me. But I was like, there's no way this is going to fly.
Well, unfortunately, that actually exists.
I yeah. know. And, I know. And you yeah, got to be brave yeah. and stand up for yourself.
Well, and one of the things that it has not been done kind of like through our careers is what you make was always hush hush.
Yeah, secret, right? Secret.
No one could know, or you didn't even tell a coworker, you know, what you got. And unfortunately, a lot of times when you hire a new person, you know, they demand more than somebody who's been there for decades of time.
Mm-hmm.
And so that inequality happens too. And I'm not saying that that's just women, that could be men and women.
Way. Yeah. Right. Right.
And so there's just another situation where you need to have the confidence. And if you don't, I feel like everybody's, you know, joining together and asking each other questions where it was just really do not say anything about what you're making, what you're getting paid,
how much you weigh.
yeah.
That's off the table. A texter wanted to know about the FICA cap. I know we're sort of switching gears, but these are coming in at 651.
Okay.
It's 651-461-9226. It says, why not raise the FICA cap? First of all, what is it? And talk more about that.
Yeah, I have to look and see.
That's okay. That's fine.
Yeah, the FICA stands for
Federal Insurance. Yeah. Okay. So, what about raising it?
Okay. So the FICA is a U.S. federal payroll tax.
Yeah.
And
I see. They're talking about it as a way to fund Social Security. So to raise the cap, which is currently this person apparently is knowledgeable on this. At $176,000 after that, there are no more Social Security taxes charged to the employee. If it's raised, it could increase the fund. They say easy peasy, but nothing is easy peasy in this world.
Well, this is important to know. And so to me, you know, they call it a U.S. federal payroll tax, right?
Uh-huh.
It's a tax.
Right.
So they take out so much money from our paycheck, but it's capped. I forget what the dollar amount is, but it is capped. All of a sudden, you know, you're getting paid and they're taking out this payroll tax. And then all of a sudden you don't have to pay it anymore because you've met that limit. So one thing that, and it's a percentage or it's a dollar amount. Mm. Well, then they also had the Medicare part of that. Mm-hmm. And that used to be capped too. It was like 1.7% or something. Mm-hmm. And then they did actually lift that where it's endless, meaning I used to always say Barbara Streisand, who makes millions of dollars because she's a great singer and she has these concerts and everything. She went from having a limit to that Medicare tax and it was unlimited. So I would use that in my chats with my clients and say, okay, now they just raise a ton of money on people who make money. So that's, I think, what they're talking about here. There's a cap on that FICA. And if we would unleash that like we did the Medicare, then there would be a lot more money into the system. One of the arguments is, and it's all over the news, is that the people who make a lot of money, the percentage of those people are still very small, right? So we're going to have to do a lot more than maybe even just raise that cap. We've got a lot more that we need to do, you know, for everybody. It sounds like politically they're working on it, right?
Yeah, that's interesting because it seems like to have the cap, which is that, and Josh just looked it up, $176,100, the cap for 2025.
Okay. Okay.
So say I make that amount and I'm taxed on that amount. That doesn't mean if I make $1 million, I'm still going to get taxed my bracket for that amount. But then am I also taxed for the FICA? I'm taxed twice.
Well, are you talking about the FICA and the Medicare one that I talked about?
Yeah.
Because we're all unlimited on the Medicare one. We're all, it is a small percentage, 1.7% or something like that. Mm. And then the current tax rate for that Social Security withholding is 6.2%.
Mm.
And so I don't know when it comes to the end of the day, the FICA is not just yours. The corporation has to pay a percentage there too.
Okay.
So it's something that can be on the ledger for an option. But what I would tell you is I don't think it's going to be the be all end all.
No.
Because
okay.
Even though it may sound like a lot of money, there isn't enough gazillionaires out there to to change Social Security to have a proper proper confidence that we're all going to have Social Security. They'll figure it out. I trust the government will figure it out.
You do?
I do.
Okay, good. No, because when you go, kind of circling back to the 30 million boomers that are going to be tapping into Social Security, or a great many of them, that does seem like it will be a strain on the pot of money for all.
Well, here's one thing we have to do. We have got to stop having so much debt, you know.
Yeah.
I remember I was doing workshops, I mean, it's probably 15 years ago, it was $14 trillion in debt that we had as a nation, and now we're at $36
trillion. $36 trillion in credit card debt?
Well, no, this is...
All debt.
This is the U.S., the United States.
Oh, our debt. But credit card debt is pretty bad, too, though. I think I saw some number about that.
It's huge.
Yeah.
And so we as a nation have to figure it out. We have to stop. We have to lower it. And so those are big tasks because it just grew so fast in a very short period of time. And that's what they need to work on. Mm-hmm. You know, I can't, I don't want to see it at $44 trillion or $54 trillion or we have to figure this out. And, you know, they're printing the U.S. treasuries and China's still a big owner of our U.S. treasuries. And so there's just a lot of complexity there, but we have to figure that out.
Yeah. And, you know, at a basic level, too, I know in terms of the United States, but getting back to women and empowering themselves and facing these challenges, being responsible for our own personal debt is also important. I know I can tend to use credit cards like free money, and that's not the case.
I think we have to learn that at a young age. And so that's why I brought up Susie earlier. If you could influence, I know I've been talking about what my mother influenced me to do, but as a person that might be older than someone else, influence someone to educate them on how they could save today and not borrow as much debt. Mm. One thing that they say about the nation is that we have a lot of real estate and things that, you know, are valuable, that it's okay if we have 36, you know, trillion in debt, but it's not. We have to figure that out, and we're leaving that to some people that are going to help us. Is that going to happen overnight? No, but I think we're all conscientious now of how big that number is. Susie? Right.
Well, let's kind of start to wrap it up. We have about a minute left, but let's kind of recap on this Mother's Day. We want to repeat Happy Mother's Day to everyone listening. And we hope everyone enjoys time with their family. And like you said, Peg, happiness and comfort and confidence comes with thought and planning, right? It doesn't just happen.
Yeah, and for other people to encourage other people. And women have really gotten great at, you know, asking for help with another woman, but just reach out to people that you admire and that would be happy to help. You have to just ask.
And if they do have questions, I mean, Wealth Enhancement will sit down with you and do a consultation. And I don't know, maybe you don't have $1 million, Peg, but you'll see a client that doesn't make $1 million, correct?
We will take an introduction meeting with anyone if they would like to talk to us. And so we got to get to know the situation, what you're looking for, what we might recommend. And so you can just contact us. Well, that's 651-461-9226 is the call in here, but go on our website, wealthenhancement.com, and you're going to get a lot of information and phone numbers there.
And as you say, I think there's also links there to your Wealth Enhancement Group Advisors, the live podcast with Nicole Wibb, your daughter, to give some guidance about savvy retirement planning as well.
Yes, and that is wealthenhancement.com. Under Insights, there's a blog, and every week now we're doing the 7 market movers. Don't miss it. It's a great video that everybody should watch.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. Have a great day. I hope you enjoy it with your family.
Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day, Peg. Take care.